Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Exodus. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Let's pick it up in verse 25. And the other two ends of the two braided chains, and you shall fasten the two settings and put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in the front. And you shall make two rings of gold and put them, the two ends of the breastplate on the edge of it, which is the inner side of the ephod. And the two rings of gold you shall make and put them on the two shoulder straps underneath the ephod toward its front, right at the seam above the intricately woven band of the ephod. They shall bind the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the ephod using a blue cord so that it is above the intricately woven band of the ephod and so that the breastplate does not come loose from the ephod. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment or that place of decision over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. What is continually on his heart? We'll talk about that. And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. Again, this place of decision. He has authority. The high priest has a place of authority within the people. And he bears the names of the tribes representing them on his heart, on his shoulders. And he goes before the Lord. And that Urim and Thummim is that lights and perfections, that is what it speaks of, and that it's that decision-making process by which they would make decisions if issues came up regarding the people. Now, they didn't come with them with goofy thoughts or wondering about, well, should I do this, or, you know, should I kill that cow or that cow, or, you know, that wasn't what it was about, this type of thing. It was about big issue things, and they would weigh out, is this something that we made this kind of decision? Or is it already spelled out? Has God already spelled it out for us? Is this something we sought out more counsel for? Is this something that, you know, because it was just one of those things that, can you imagine how many people? These people got to leave to go hook up with the high priest. They got to leave whatever fields or cattle or anything they've got going. They've got to leave to go do. You can kind of get the picture of this. Now, again, what did Jesus do for us as our high priest? He blew the doors open 24/7. We've got access to our high priest, Jesus Christ. He is the one that is our representative. He's the one that we want to go to. Because he's the one that is perfections. He is the one that is light, you know? He's the one that we would seek out guidance and direction from. Let's get into this thought just a little bit of what the ephod looked like as far as the stones themselves and this light, you know, that was there that would come through. And this, it's kind of interesting the way it's described, that the light, like, kind of came through and came through on the letters and different. I mean, it can get really out there, you know, as far as how they thought they were getting answers back from the Lord. Some of that to me gets a little bit speculative for me, so we're not going to go too far down that road. But there was something very special that went on, you know, between God and the people in this process. But it tells us something about going to a source for certain matters and things regarding our lives. And it's very important for us to contemplate that tonight. Going to the source is what really matters. So this place of decisions. But before we get into that, we've got these different stones. You know, we've got on the shoulders, we had the ones on the onyx stone on either side. We've got these stones. What is the high priest bearing? On his shoulders, he's bearing the burden for the people. All of the people. It's all the people, all 12 tribes. He's bearing the burden of the people on his shoulders. That's what it's to represent to us. He's carrying that burden for the people and that decision that could be made or that action that needs to be taken. He's bearing the burden of that. And then where is his heart in this? Because each one of these stones is going to represent, it's got its own intricate beauty in it, right? With the different color. And it's going to actually, when light hits it, it's going to look different than every other one of the stones that are on there. Think about that. Is this a just perchance thing? Is that just some coincidence that all of the stones are all different and that as the light hits them, they all reflect it a little bit differently? Think about the body of Christ. Think about you. Think about me. Think about us as people. Think about the body of Christ outside of just our gathering as it is reflected in different ways. I think it's something to contemplate. Again, this gets into something very, very interesting, especially, I think, with a growing congregation, a church that's growing, a church that's moving forward. You know, one, we are a body of believers sitting in, and we're not the only body of believers. You know, there's a lot of bodies of believers around us. We like what we're doing. We're excited about what we're doing. And I think other people, as they get to know us, are going to be excited about what God's doing here, you know, and that's all good. But we're not the only exclusive body of believers in our area or in our city or in our community or in our nation or in our world. That would be weird thinking. Whenever you go there, you're getting off. You're missing it because the body of Christ is very large. It's the body of Christ and his grace and his mercy is vast. But if we just stayed inside our body, there's enough of us here that reflect light differently. We're different colored stones. Now, where are they placed on the ephod? It's put on the breastplate, which is closest to the heart. Why? You see, Jesus is the one that really always has yours and my best interests in mind all the time. Eternally speaking, Jesus is the only one that has your best interests in mind perfectly all the time. And you are close to his heart. What is he doing? You know, he's interceding on our behalf, sits at the right hand of the Father. You know, an intercession is a type of a prayer or an interaction. I really think that a lot of times we look at different stones and it's not always easy to get the same, we each one's reflecting light differently, seeing something a little different. That's what makes us a body, brothers and sisters. Our challenge isn't to find what's wrong with somebody else. Our challenge is to rise above that and get along. Figure out how to find the best in that other stone. That's my objective. See, I can get along with a lot of people. I do get along with a lot of people. And a lot of that is because my desire in my heart is I look at different people the same way I looked at my kids when they were born. All three of my sons are very, very unique and different people. They've got the same bloodline, and so do you, and the person next to you, and the person next to them, and the person next to them. You've got the same bloodline. Jesus Christ. His blood is coursing through our veins together as a body of believers. That's the truth. That's what you did on Sunday morning when you partook of the bread and the cup. You are testifying that that same blood is coursing through one another's veins. And oftentimes we miss that. You may think this is silly, but this is serious business because oftentimes we get nitpicky and we start thinking, well, I don't know how that group over there, what are they doing? Or how come this person does that? I don't like, you know, get above it. Get above it. Because the beauty is seeing the value of other people and the differences in other people. All three of my sons are very unique and very different. But you know what? I have the same love for each one of them. Do you know what? Jesus has the same love for each one of you. Isn't that fascinating? If we start looking at it through his eyes, we start looking at one another, start looking at Christianity as a whole through the eyes of the Lord, we start seeing it a little bit differently. It's not as self-focused. It's more focused on the big picture. And for a church that's moving forward, a church that's growing, a church that's developing, you know what? There, we're going to have a lot of different people that are going to lock arms with us to do ministry. Now, we have certain things that are in motion, you know, as far as how we are aspiring to do ministry. And I agree with that. But we are also locking arms with a lot of different stones. You know what I'm saying? A lot of different people. They reflect light a little bit differently. And I really think the timing of this is perfect. Because I see us, as we're moving forward, we've got to learn to embrace one another. I'm not saying we need to get weird. You know, I'm not saying that we just lock up with any willy-nilly aberrant thinking. You know me better than that. We're family. I'm talking to family here. You know, I'm talking, no, we need to, when we lock arms with one another, we need to make sure that we're accepting one another in the Lord. It doesn't mean we agree with everything. You're not going to agree with everything that I think scripturally. I know that. But that's okay. I'm the teacher. I'm the pastor. So, you know, that's the way it goes. You know what I'm saying? You get what I mean. Is that we aren't all going to agree on every little scripture in the Bible. We're going to see some things. And you know what? That's okay with me. That's not offensive to me. You know, that doesn't freak me out. But we do need to hold true to the basic tenets of our faith. And if you have something that is a little bit different than the main thrust of the teaching of the ministry here, I think it would only make good sense that you kind of keep that on the DL. You know, keep that more to yourself. And wait for further information from the Lord. Maybe God's going to, you know, clear up some of that stuff. Or because you don't want to be viewed as divisive, you know, because that's what it can be. We're not here to confuse one another, are we? I mean, certainly not. You know, there's nothing wrong with challenging each other's thoughts from time to time. I'm all for that. But and in that way, provoking one another to good works. But man, the high priest kept all of these close to the heart. Just like Jesus does. He keeps all of them close to his heart. That's what the high priest does. And that's what the high priest is doing for you and for me. All close to the heart. And to me, it kind of speaks too of that aspect of prayer. I found one of the best things for me to do for difficult situations like that is to pray. When I pray, man, I start getting the mind and the heart of the Lord for difficult matters. Things that are a little bit hard for me to grasp, different viewpoints, different things. So the same with the onyx stones there. He's carrying those on the shoulders. You know, he's willing to bear with that. And yet all of this is, every one of them is different, and there's unity, just as we learned throughout the New Testament, unity in diversity. Isn't that what we found, you know, through Romans and other places in the Scripture? Unity in diversity. Unity in diversity. Man, that's so important. Because we all have differing gifts. And obviously, I'm going to think, and you're going to think, your area is the most important area. No, all of it is the most important thing. And Jesus is the most important thing. We're wanting to point people to the high priest. There's a couple of things with this. Let's turn to Judges chapter 8 real quick. Verse 22. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, you remember as Gideon had won the great battle, you know, he pared it down to very few, and Gideon had this great battle, and, you know, and the people there say, hey, man, rule over us. You know, they don't have a king at this point. There has not been a king. It's God is their king. Judges chapter 8, verse 22. Rule over us, they said, both you and your son, and your grandson also, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian. But Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Oh, this is good, Gideon. These are good things. I think we see Gideon's heart there, don't we? We see the heart of Gideon. I don't want that kind of a role. Then Gideon said to them, I would like to make a request of you that each of you would give me the earrings from his plunder, for they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. And so they answered, we will gladly give them. And they spread out a garment, and each man threw into it the earrings from his plunder. Now the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides the crescent ornaments, pendants, and purple robes, which were on the kings of Midian, and besides the chains that were around the camels' necks. And Gideon made it into an ephod and set it up in his city of Ophrah. Now, this all seems very harmless to this point, except for, remember, what does an ephod represent? It represents an authority, you know, and it represents that place of decision, right? That because it held the judgments. It's to them. You have to understand, to them, that's what it represented, you know? They thought of a garment such as that, they thought of that as something that had authority. You know, it represented something that had authority. So, he puts this up, and then it says, and all Israel played the harlot with it there. It became a snare to Gideon and to his house. Thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel so that they lifted their heads no more, and the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon. So, this idea of this other ephod being made. You guys tracking with me so far? We got this ephod. We got this one that God's made. It's the priestly thing. It's the right thing. It's godly. Now, all of a sudden, years later, Gideon chooses to make this ephod, but the people recognize it as something. He says, no, I'm not going to rule over you. But then he goes ahead and makes this ephod, and then people start worshiping the ephod. They start going to the ephod to get direction. They start playing the harlot with the ephod. You see they became idolatrous with this thing that they thought had answers and decisions for them. The thought behind this is that it's easy, as they went and worshiped this and really were trying to, they worshiped this instead of worshiping the Lord, basically, is what was happening. They were going to this to get direction. They were going to this to get insight. Instead of going to the Lord, because remember, this ephod represented that judgments or that decisions, you know, being made. Inside also, not only were the names of all the people, but the Urim and Thummim, this lights and perfections that was there that gave them some type of a response or some kind of guidance and direction. Jesus Christ went in and is our high priest. He is our high priest. Now, we are a part of a royal priesthood, but we are not the high priest, right? We would agree with that scripturally. We would agree. The priesthood of all believers, but we are not the high priest. Jesus is our high priest. We believe in that. See, and there's a little bit of difference here, because the high priest was wearing this and was this breastplate and this was the one that you would go to seek this guidance or the direction from. The people here, when Gideon did this, even though he was trying to do something cool, it just all shot out on him the wrong way, because the heart of man is to go to this thing to get guidance and direction from instead of going to the Lord. There's a good lesson in this for us, a powerful lesson in this for us, is that, man, people can see you. They can see me. They can see any of us as believers, other believers, and just people in general. They can come and you can sit down and you can give them counsel. We ought to be very careful in that. Our first question is, have you gone to the Lord with this? How many times in the counsel situation when you talk to somebody, they say, have you said, honestly, I mean strictly, wait a minute, have you talked to God about this? That should be the first thing, or else it turns into this kind of thing. It turns into the golden ephod of Gideon. Now all of a sudden, they're coming to us looking for something from us that we really ought not to tamper in at that point. Now, as part of the body of Christ, there is good safety in the multitude of counselors. I agree with that. But that's not our first stop on the decision-making process. You see what I'm saying? That's not the first stop. The first place we should go always is to the Lord. We should be seeking guidance and direction from the Lord, always. And you and I should be pointing other people to that. Because, man, we're starting to put on something here. He's our high priest. He is the ultimate place of decision. Who is Mighty Counselor? It's not me. I assure you of that. You know, it's Jesus Christ. And Him alone is the Mighty Counselor. I'm not. You're not. We're not. Now, that's not to say that you don't have valuable input in a situation from time to time. And that's not to say that we can't interact on that level. But man, I so heartily believe in pointing people to Jesus because Jesus is going to give them the best answer. Now, it should balance up against the body of Christ. We saw that in Acts when we've been through Acts. We saw that the things came back and balanced up within the family of God. You know, a question comes up, seek the Lord. We're going to get that counsel from brothers and sisters. And that's good. And it should start to bear witness. And where else does it need to bear witness? What is the Lord speaking to you, the individual, from His Word? It is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. The Word of God should be speaking to those matters directly. Is it any possible way that I would have any better insight than the Word of God? I assure you, no. And I would not want to be the golden ephod, you see. Does that mean that we don't interact with one another? No, I just said the family. We glean a lot from interacting as a body of believers, right? I think that's a value. I think it's okay to talk about certain matters. But a good, solid brother or sister is going to ask these other questions too. So, have you brought this to the Lord? Have you asked specifically regarding the Lord in this matter? Is the Lord bearing, what's He speaking to your heart through your devotions and through your time alone in His Word? Is God speaking to you? What's happening in the congregation, the teaching within the congregation, especially in a congregation such as ours where we actually really teach through the Word and we're going through things in the Bible, there should be something bearing witness with those decisions and there should be a peace descending upon your life. I think, again, the issue here was they took this stuff, they made an ephod, they started worshiping the ephod instead of God, the representation.
Thank you for tuning in today and for listening to the radio program, for listening to God's Word. And I know God has a perfect plan for your life. And it starts, really, by giving our hearts to the Lord. If you've not given your heart to the Lord, or you're just in a place where you have a sense that you're distant from God, and you just want to open your life up to the Lord, you know, the Word says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Isn't that great to know that we have a God that's full of grace and mercy, that He's willing to pardon all of our sin, to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness? It's a simple prayer, just to give your life to Jesus. Man, all things become new when we give our lives to the Lord. If you just pray this simple prayer along with me, Jesus, I want to open my heart up to You. I want to ask that You would forgive me of my sin, my unrighteousness, that You would pardon me. I thank You so much for that grace and mercy that You've shown me. Lord, thank You for the love that put You on the cross, that You did that willingly for me. And Lord, again, I just open my heart to You. I receive You as my personal Lord and my Savior. And I thank You for that free gift of everlasting life that You've given me. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/calvarychapelkc. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes Store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.